wanted to just give just a snapshot on where we are at Enterprise Risk Management at Health Alliance. Jonathan did a fantastic job. I think we all can attest to that, of teeing this up and what's been going, what the important components and tenets are of an enterprise risk management program. We are also striving to be strategic. We are not there by any means yet. That's our goal to get there. We did as well. Jonathan, who did you use? You used
RSM.
We used KPMG, so that was who came in our day one to help us get our feet on the ground. And then they've moved on, and we've taken it. We are contemplating on re-engaging with them and having them come back in just to assess how they think we've been doing on our own, and just to give us their feedback on where we are in the process of developing our program. I said to Jonathan, I said, now we did this 2 years ago, right? Because we both presented, and he's like, no, that was just last year, last June. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was just last year. I thought it was 2 years ago. So we haven't made as much progress as I thought we had. But we are in the middle of making submitting our third ORSA report as well. The first year we submitted, we submitted in December. We went in April. We had to go defend the Department of Insurance, to present in front of the Department of Insurance in Illinois. We're headquartered in Illinois. We did defend our ORSA report, and it was very positive, well-received. This year we submitted, and this year we also, too, are just closing up our financial audit with our regulators, so they were on site. So we just did that defense through our interview process of our financial audit that's closing up now. And this financial audit was, much to what other people have alluded to, was much more focused on risk, looking at our processes and policies in regard to how we handle enterprise risk. We passed, so we got a good passing score on that. So another thing, so I just got a couple notes before I start my presentation. We are still maturing. Our program is in the third year, I would say. One of the positives I think we've done is that Tracy has stepped into a new role where she's managed our compliance program for years. She is now managing both our compliance and enterprise risk. So we've taken the steps of dovetailing those two programs together. She's done a fantastic job of rolling that out to the company, doing an education, creating that culture. We've spent a lot of time in many years, enhancing and improving our compliance culture. So we're just now dovetailing the enterprise risk management tenets into that same vein, and the education and all the opportunities we have to present that to our staff. And I also go around and do the roadshow with the different departments and do an enterprise risk management presentation at the department level, at the employee level, just to show them that what we're doing in this space and what our 12 issues are, so that they can identify those and become, tie them into their day-to-day operations, so they know what is the on the current risk universe for the company. We're still very reactive. We're immature, trying to be, our goal would be to be strategic and be more proactive. We do have the long-term risks that we're trying to avoid and mitigate against. We're now working on those emerging risks that are coming up, and we handle those in a different swim lane of more of a short-term approach. And do they need to then, are we able to mitigate them in 3 months or less, or 6 months, whatever, the time frame to mitigate those emerging risks, or do they eventually need to be identified as one of our long-term risks, and they then make their way onto the universe template for the risks. Another thing that we've done, and I'll speak, and Wyatt's going to speak tomorrow morning, but I think it's important, for years, so when I came to compliance, first thing what we did was we moved information security out of the IT department. So Wyatt reports to me, so we have that independence of the security officer. He's not in the IT department. He reports up through us. And then we also were reporting a lot of his metrics and risk assessments that he does from an information security perspective through the compliance committee. We have now moved. He still reports his security rule violations, you don't have a lot of violations, but security role issues through the compliance committee. But the lion's share of his information security program is reported up through the enterprise risk management committee. So we've realigned where who has oversight over his information security program. We saw that more of an enterprise risk than a compliance risk. So that's kind of a nutshell of where we're moving as a company. So myself, we're going to talk about board, and a lot of my table this morning that I had assigned to, we're going to talk a little bit of some of the things I've had in my slides, so you may have heard, you have a repeat there, we'll skip through those. Internal auditing, what we're doing within, and it's kind of, I use the word internal audit, it's more what we're doing within Health Alliance, of the different levels of the defense, and we'll talk about that for a little bit. And how we make decisions, and then how we, the categories, and the reporting. So this is just a snapshot of us. We are, our system, we're owned by the Carle Foundation. We have four licensed health insurance companies. That we have the Connect, Northwest Health Plans, Medical Plans, and Midwest. These are the four entities that we have lines of business under. We write one enterprise risk management program over all companies. We do align, if it's a specific issue for a specific company, we do align that risk to that company. So we take the time to do that. And then we have what the oversight is, the two different boards. So back here, so Connect, this company, and this swim lane share the same board of directors. Northwest has its own board of directors. So we have two different, we have one committee or one program that reports up to one committee. Then we have the Health Alliance Audit Committee then that reports up to the two different boards. That's how that oversight is currently structured. And much to what Jonathan spoke to, you know, this is a slide that we can go through this pretty quick. We have the charter. He did a fantastic job of outlining all that. We do, at our committee level is small right now. We have 5-member voting committee. We purposely made it small as we grow and we have the more intimate conversations. We invite people to attend those meetings that are risk owners, but the voting structure is 5 members right now. And we also went through the steps of creating a policy and procedures and creating a risk appetite statement. And as Jonathan alluded to, that statement is intertwined in all the decisions that we make. From a risk management perspective. So from an internal audit, we do the 3 lines of defense, and this is a industry-wide accepted model. So, but we, from our side, we identify for the list, the first line is those risk owners within the department, those are department level business owners that have been assigned the risk that when we identify it. Then they report up what they're doing at their department level, and within the operations to myself and Tracy and Wyatt and then the committee, the Enterprise Risk Management Committee. And then we take the time to then look at what they're doing and assess and ensure that they are taking the correct steps. And then we involve our internal audit. We have a different, right now it's a shared service internal audit model where he is over internal audit, both much like Wyatt. He's over internal audit on both sides of the street. The hospital's on one side where that's just an analogy I'll use. So, and so we use them to come in and do the 3rd line of defense. So then we can contract with the external auditors if we need to, and then the regulator is the everyone's familiar with that. So we're very, we're getting there. Tracy and I are spending a lot of time right now with the risk owners, and you know, they've been assigned. We've been holding their hands a lot and through this process and getting them on board and getting them to be accountable for their risks that have been identified. But we're trying to get them to take more accountability and not depend on us to help them through the process. Let them be the owners of that first line, so that we can create those 3 lines of defense, a clear division in those 3 lines. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. Again, they're you have so much on their plate. You know, again, it's not in their culture. It's not in their in their toolbox and how to approach it in that vein. They just want to take care of the issue and move on, where we want to really make sure that they are documenting the process and changing it long term, and then being able to defend what they did to resolve the issue. So we do what Jonathan spoke to. We do a risk assessment, annual risk assessment as well. We have a compliance audit schedule and internal audit schedule. Those items we're using to ensure that we are auditing and monitoring the correct items. We have the policies and procedures for the risk management program. The ad hoc risks, these are things that are emerging, the emerging things that are introduced to us. And there's many different avenues that we glean this information from, or are made aware of them through meetings, through different reports. So, we are spending a lot of time on making sure that we have our finger on the pulse or our ear on the ground of hearing what's happening, so that we can identify those and mitigate risks as they are identified. 4 and 5 is done by our finance office, finance department. They do all the stress testing and capital assessments. So they are very involved in those two steps. Excuse me. And then the sixth, this is something new that we've started this year. We're working with our project management office over on the system side, is that if a risk that we've identified and has stayed on the risk registry, which is the short term, not the long term risk, but the short term risk, if it's stayed on there and we want to take our steps to mitigate it so it doesn't end up on the long term risk, we'll create a root cause analysis team led by our PMO. And then they'll come in and they'll do a deep dive, and they'll look into the processes, and they will identify gaps, and hopefully, as part of that mitigation process, create a better process at the procedures and process at the other end of that root cause analysis. We have done 4. We've finalized 1, but we haven't closed it out yet, because we're still doing all the tie back and ensuring that what the steps we've taken has mitigated the issue. One of the issues, Medicare Advantage provider network adequacy, we had in our application for our 2017 application, we had a gap, and we had to pull out of accounting at the last minute, and trying to figure out why, how did that happen? Why did we not know that gap was there earlier in the process so that we could have mitigated it? So we went back and went through that whole scenario of what steps are taken to do that. Another one we're doing right now is on our commissions. We had a snafu in how we were paying our broker commissions. So we are looking at, we got that resolved, and the internal audit has completed their audit to make sure we're paying them correctly. But why did we get to that point? So we're doing a root cause analysis on that. And we're kicking off to one of them. Has been on the risk registry is our self-funded plan administration. We've always treated our self-funded plans too much like fully insured, like HMOs, just because that's standard, the operational efficiency. It's easier to do it one way than two different ways, and we're finding that we are out of compliance in some areas. So we raised the red flag and said, let's do a root cause analysis and mitigate this risk before it turns into a larger risk of loss of membership or a group not wanting to renew with us because we're not dotting the I's and crossing the T's correctly for them. So that's been a big focus of mine right now, of the new processes that we're putting into place. Tracy's taking the lead on meeting with all the risk owners and getting all that documentation. Through the financial audit, one of the things, they were very pleased with our documentation and our mitigating controls, but one of the gaps that we did not have formal documentation of what they were showing us as their metrics, or what they were showing us as their progress they've been making. So we created a form, and they submit the metrics to us now on a regular basis, and we have to actually document the record of conversation and document what steps have been taken, and we do that on a quarterly basis now. And so again, just to document, documentation is just so vital in the DOI's eyes to show that progress. Tracy, anything else on that? Oh, sorry.
And just monitoring as well, providing what they're doing in their departments to monitor the risk as well, providing that documentation up to compliance, which that's new to them as well.
So we've done another focus we've been doing since last June, since I thought we'd been doing it for 2 years, but I guess not. We've been really focusing on implementing the strategic plan or the enterprise risk management functions or features into all the different functions within the company, most starting with the strategic plan and the budget planning. That's an annual process that we do. I kicked off that meeting this year of saying these are our risks. Take these into account when we're making your strategic plans that you're proposing. Take these into account when you're submitting your budget plan for the year. And then through that whole process of vetting, coming to the final conclusion, we include ERM as a component. We have a new oversight process within Health Alliance. We have our strategic council. That's a new addition to our decision-making process. We've inserted this strategic council. Everything has to go through strategy is the big term at our place now. And strategy also has the enterprise risk universe and has the issues that we've identified, and they're very forefront in their decision-making process, and how does those decisions impact those risks. Project portfolio, and so this would lead right into when, if you've identified a strategy that you need you create a new project or a new vendor that you're going to partner with, you first go through a strategic enterprise risk evaluation before going forward with that. Our organizational accountability grid is the functions within the organization that are assigned to each area, each department, and then they're also aligned. So I can't think of what I'm asking. They're aligned with the risk that they are, if applicable, that they are trying to mitigate. And then the key risk indicators are at the department level. That we're creating a key risk indicators for every department for that if they reach a threshold before, so they are indicating a potential risk within that department. Makes sense, sorry. So when we identify risks, we put them into one of seven categories. We have, as you can see up there, the seven categories that we've identified. We currently have 12 risks. Here, I wrote that in. I wrote that down. 40, so under this, and then under every risk, we have sub-risks. So that's how we manage ours. Right now, we have, and then on the ad hoc risks that I mentioned earlier, we have 13 that Tracy and I are managing from an ad hoc perspective, and those two. Those are also aligned with one of the categories, really, and they're aligned with one of the universe risks as well. If they're so,
can you speak to external?
External would be more what we put in that bag is like for our Evacor system, our Evacor partner that does our PA list. Hurricane Irma was in their path, so that was an ad hoc risk that we put in as an external. Impact, natural disaster. Not natural disaster, but you used the word catastrophe. I don't know the right word I'm going to use. Yeah, that's what we do external. And then we identify the risks. We rate them from an impact and a likelihood. The impact is financial and its variances from the budget. And then the likelihood of it happening. So those are the two. Every time we assess a risk, we use these two models, these two scales, to identify where it would then be scored. And we come up with the priority that's assigned and then what the action's required. and then we plot it on a heat map. And we use this heat map through we use this heat map at the management committee, the enterprise risk management committee. We use this heat map with the risk owners so they can see where their risks are plotted with the other risks in the company. We use this heat map with our board, so it's the same reporting. So consistent reporting with all the impacted parties. So again, we assign the correct action that's required. And then we develop a strategy when it's, so it's been identified and we've all agreed, you know, it's been created, the risk has been created on the template. We identify a strategy that we are using to address that risk. And those are one of those three strategies we have. We have no avoid and exit right now. We never were in the Medicaid line of business in 3-4 years ago. We went in and decided that was not where we wanted to live in that swim lane. So we did decide to avoid or exit that. But for a while, that was one of the risks there. And then our reporting is we have a risk incident form that we fill out on every risk. We evaluate the risk on reputational, operational, legal, people, staffing impact. There's eight different areas that we report on at. And we keep that as documentation. And then we create the if it's a an ad hoc risk that's been identified, we create the risk registry. It goes on the risk registry. We do maintain then the 12 risks that I alluded to earlier is on the risk universe. Those are the difference between those two documents. The risk owner report, which is the record of conversation, and also the additional information that they provide in their monitoring report, as Tracy alluded to. And then all that information is packaged up and reported to the risk management committee on a quarterly basis. And we do, too, we review the risk universe at each meeting, and we also do invite a one risk owner. Wyatt's brought, you're a risk owner for data security. He's came and presented on that risk to the committee as the focus risk. And then the report that's to the management committee then gets reported up to the audit committee. So that's my presentation. Short and sweet, right? Last of the day. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to call us. We're doers. I'm not a very good presenter, I apologize, but we do a lot. We spend a lot of time on this within our company, and I think we've made a lot of progress, but we're glad to be able to be a resource, and we just continue to make progress.
Scott, there was a question earlier about, do you filter through strategy first, or do you go back and bump it against strategy later? And you showed strategy at the front end of your process. How does
were actually in order. I apologize. Okay. Those were just all components that we put enterprise risk in the process. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, strategic planning. So we make sure that when we're making our strategic plan for the year, that before we make it finalized, we've taken into account the current risks and what are we doing to minimize those risks, and are we making decisions that may escalate that risk or raise the level of it? And if it is, we're fine if we make that decision to go forward with that. But as long as it's in the forefront of our mind when we're making our decisions.
So there's a risk analysis that's done in conjunction with the planning process to make sure nothing in the plan is out of line based off of your risk profile. Okay. Right.
My question
go
is,
ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. It's just regarding the form, and I had to step out, so I apologize if you gave more information on it, but what type of detail are you capturing in your form, and then are you willing to share it or
it? I'll give it. You may have it. I mean, I think I gave it last time, but I'll give it to you again.
If it's out there, okay.
Yeah.
You can have it.
But can you just talk a little bit about what you're...
It is, so the first, I have it right here. So you just go through, there's a step of going through the 1 through 5 scale on those 8 different components. So there's financial, corporate, reputational, staff, criminal, customer service, regulatory, and legal. So we assess on each of those areas, and then we go to the second page and fill out the impact and the likelihood based on those scores that was given in those areas to come up with a overall score, and then it plots it on this the critical to insignificant range, and then we plot it. And on here we also we list who the owner is, what the cause of the risk is, what the current mitigating controls that they're putting into place to mitigate that risk. We've put in if we're monitoring it or mitigating it or avoiding it, exiting it. And then we also, then this is the area, it's called management decision statement, is where we continue to make the updates as it stays open. It's just a chronological report on what's taking place in regard to that risk. But yes, I'll send it to you, or she may have it.
Oh, okay. You may already cover this, Scott, when I had to step out to make sure I have room to sleep tonight. So you mentioned before I step out, I heard this is kind of your 3rd year into it, right?
Yes.
The how about the risk management?
Yes, same, yes.
Your 3rd year.
3rd year.
But from what I see here, this the kind of where you guys are at is my previous company took like 5-6 years to get there. So apparently you guys has been very successful. So what was the most important factor for you guys to be so successful with a short time period of time?
I was told to do it.
So it's kind of from the top.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was to ensure. So it was the ORSA report, was the ORSA legislation was the mm-hmm. was the driver behind getting it done. So
did the CEO play a big role there?
I'm sorry, who?
Did your CEO play a big role there?
Yeah. I mean, he's very supportive. I mean, and, you know, I think the being able to transfer Tracy into a full-time role that takes care of that or is focuses on that, and we also have hired a coordinator that supports Tracy. So the company has very supportive mm-hmm. of us building this out and continue to improve this.
Was your CEO involved heavily in the process? Is he a member for your risk committee, a risk management committee?
He is not a member. He was. No. So we had when we first started the process, we had a different CEO. We have a new one. They've both been very supportive of it. They aren't members of the committee, but I meet with them on a regular basis. He was interviewed as part of the financial audit. He's very supportive. And we have a chief administrative officer who does sit on the committee. So he, you know, the two of them are very supportive of the program.
Thank you. I think my next question is to the broader group. Do you guys have a CEO dictate the process? If you do have a CEO who want to dictate your risk management process, what is suggestion for you guys to can make sure you do the right thing, not what he tell you guys to do.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
I'm telling you the right thing.
Our CEO defers. Yeah. He doesn't dictate the process. He defers to me to make the recommendation and to lead the process so that it is a independent review and assessment. So
the positive side is if he is so involved, you're going to get a lot more traction, a lot more support from everybody else also. That's the challenge. How do you make sure that every department, when they have like 10,000 of their own initiative going on, take this seriously?
And that's the culture at Health Alliance, I would say, because the compliance program has that same support. I mean, we get the resources that we need, we get the support. We're not tethered in that. Did you want to say something?
Our senior level management have always, since I've been with the company 30 years, and with Health Alliance 26 of it. So we have our senior management has always been very supportive of the compliance program. And so putting enterprise risk into this compliance program, it's just the culture of our organization, and for them to get on board with the enterprise risk as well.
Yeah, if I could actually add to that. So I'm new to Health Alliance because I've only been there 5 years, as opposed to most of the people I work with have been there a long time. But one thing I've noticed for sure, and I said it earlier at our table, Scott, is not only do you and Tracy and I have a seat at, you know, the table, but we also have a seat, and not a seat, but you guys have such great relationships with the operational layer. The relationships already exist that, you know, you already have this established framework of compliance, you have the relationships built in, and that's been a huge driver of success, I think, is just everybody understanding where we are coming from and being on board and supportive of the operations that are going on.
Yeah, so kind of jump in there. I kind of have maybe a good case study from personal experience. But yeah, the CEO needs to be supportive, but you it's similar to internal audit. There needs to be kind of a direct line kind of around the CEO through up through the board, kind of the same way internal audit runs. But it shouldn't create, I mean, hopefully it wouldn't create friction anyway. So for us, one of our key risks was kind of an unexpected change in reimbursement from our owners. And this has happened, you know, in the past. You know, we'll set our assumptions, we'll price products like exchange products, priced way in advance, and then all of a sudden, you know, our owners will inform us that we're now, you know, going to pay them 10% more than we had expected to. And that's a strategic risk, you know, to us meeting our strategic goals. That's a real risk. And so that came up in the committee. And, you know, there were some questions as to, well, you know, this is obviously going to be seen by our owners and the board. Do we want to tell them that they're a key risk? You know, just, you know, maybe like you're thinking CEO is your top key risk. I don't know. That might be risky. But you know, for us, we decided that, you know, to be pure to the process, we put it in there. To be honest, the board looked at it, didn't take any issue with it. So, but I would say that, you know, you need to treat it, you know, if the more honest you are with the process, the more value you'll get out of it.
One of our risks we're dealing with right now is we are going through, and it's a positive risk, really, if you think about it, is that we're going through a lot of vertical integration. You know, For many years, we lived and breathed as the provider. The hospital sat over on this side of the street, and the health plan sat on this side of the street, and they owned us, but we acted very independently. We now have leadership that we have now moved into this sort of structure, and we're, you know, it's being very successful, and we're seeing a lot of benefits from it. But what are the risks associated with that as well? It's like our CEO, Dr. Leonard, is now the CEO over both entities. So that's why we've now inserted this chief administrative officer who then is just focused on Health Alliance from that role. So trying to create, you know, some of that independence review and making sure we keep the separations in the correct, where with different swim lanes when we need different swim lanes to ensure independence.
One of the challenges which we come across is how do you identify those KRIs, key risk indicators?
It's hard.
And then how do you monitor that? Like in your experience, if they're gonna give you less reimbursement, how do you?
Hey there.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I was listening to him.
So I actually think for us, KRIs were one of the easier. So the way that we pitched it is to each risk owner, we would say, what would you, running your area, what would you actually look at to know how this was going? You know, what metrics do you look at? What data do you look at on your day-to-day? You know, if I said, how do you know things are going well? How do you know things are going poorly? What would you go to look at to make that determination? And they formulated KRIs for their risk around the metrics that they're already using.
And that's exactly what we did.
Now, if they don't have one, if they actually aren't using any data to run their area, then I think you have to sit down with them and see what's available. And that's, you know, that will help you instantly demonstrate the value of ERM because there really shouldn't be, you know, very many areas that are operating without looking at any data whatsoever. But that was kind of our approach.
Sure. Well, I was just going to add, sorry to interrupt you there, is that we had that same approach, but we got pages of information. We're like, no, we don't need that much.
Yeah, yeah. We tried to limit it to, you know, give us your top three, top five,
well,
something like that.
We got like 20, 25 each department. I'm like, we are not monitoring that much.
So. And Scott, all the 10,000 things you have shared here, some of them can talk to KRIs also?
I'm sorry,
documents?
Oh, yeah. And you're asking if I shared the KRI document?
Any,
if I didn't, I'll send it to her.
Yeah, so I have three from last night.
There's the risk incident form.
And then I have your presentation. That's all I have.
No, I didn't. I'll get it to her.
And how often do you ask people to report back to you?
Quarterly.
Quarterly.
We meet with the risk owners quarterly.
Oh, actually, Scott, I did have a question for you. So on your form, your severity and likelihood, how do those get populated? Is that populated through the committee or by the risk owner or? So on your form you had, you know, a section there where they were filling out the likelihood and severity.
Yeah.
Where did those numbers come from?
So Tracy and the risk owner and I create that or populate that. We take it to the Enterprise Risk Management Committee for approval.
So it's kind of a case-by-case basis.
Correct.
Like different risk owners might do it differently, but you leave it up to...
No, we try to follow the same mathematical equation to reach that. Is that what...
Well, I mean, I guess, so like let's say, you know, you're looking at the likelihood of losing a key account or the likelihood of a cybersecurity incident. How did you determine what the likelihoods of those two events were?
What is populated on the first page is populated on this page, and then that determines what the risk score is. We have them all identified with a number.
Right, but I guess that's what I'm asking. So if it says 50%, how did you know it was 50%?
I'm not sure. Yeah, all embedded into the logic of the forms. They're all...
okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. if that's what it is, I'm just wondering, is it, you know, is somebody doing an exercise to value that, or is it just subject matter expertise that decided it was that?
Yeah, it's more
or...
qualitative than quantitative.
Okay, yeah, that was kind of my question, is if it was just kind of a qualitative, like a survey approach.
Yes, absolutely.